She is Emmy Award-winning actor, comedian Mary Lynn Rice Cub. Her credits include, well, The Dropout on Hulu, Hell's Kitchen, It's Always Sunny in Chicago, or maybe that's Philadelphia, I'm not sure. Hey, Mary Lou, how are you?
Hey. What's going on?
Well, I can barely hear you, so where are you talking to me from? Are you underground?
Well, close. I thought I'd give you a little project to guess if I'm underground or in a hole. Let me walk towards the door. That's what you do, right?
Yeah, that is what you do. So, well, you walk to the door.
In case of an earthquake and a phone call, I'm walking towards the door.
With a live phone call with a radio station, that is what you do. So the name of the book I want to talk about, and by the way, you're coming to the Chicago area. In fact, you'll be in Aurora April 22nd and 23rd at the Jukebox Comedy, and that's in... No, let me do that again. April 15th and 16th at the Comedy Shrine in Aurora. April 22nd and 23rd at the Jukebox Comedy in Peoria. And I'll say that again before we're done here, so we're clear on that. And what you're going to be talking about is Famish, My Life at the Edge of Stardom. And it is kind of at the edge in some ways, and in some ways it isn't. You are a star. I mean, you're on television, and you're on Hulu regularly. But let me ask you about Tom Cruise, if I can, if you don't mind.
I wasn't sure where you were going to go with this. Yes, please do.
All right. So according to what I understand, you and Mr. Cruise spent some intimate time together on a couch. I'll let you take it from there.
Here's the thing. People yes. wouldn't even know because it went on the cutting room floor, a movie
oh.
called Magnolia. Paul Thomas Anderson, he played a character that was like kind of how to swindle women, how to manipulate women, but he was teaching seminars. It was this twisted character in that movie. And so he's doing a speech about how you treat a woman, and then it cuts to he and I and him manipulating me. And I'm really angry at him at first, and then he tells this whole story, and we end up making out on a couch.
And it didn't even make the movie. So how does that feel? I mean, when you make movies, you never know for sure, I don't believe, exactly what is going to come out at the other end of that process of making sausages, if you will, and what's going to land on the cutting room floor and what's going to make it or not. Did you think that maybe that part all along, that scene anyway, would not make it?
Well, you can't go into it thinking that, but yes, kind of, because it's Paul Thomas Anderson and there's so many characters in the movie and he really is very thorough with his vision, but it happens. Certainly not while you're shooting it, you know, you're completely invested in it. Same thing with an audition, right? You don't think I'm going to get this, but you fully invest in the situation and then you hope for the best, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, depending on where he's at, Mickey Dolenz of the Monkees is going to be on the show later. And probably he walks into a supermarket and people say, there he is, a monkey. I think
yes.
that a lot of people would recognize you, Mary Lynn Rice Cub. But on the other hand, I think there are people who may not, in all honesty, which is why I suspect you called it Famish, My Life at the Edge of Stardom.
Well, yes, Famish serves a couple of purposes. One of them is exactly what you're saying, where people look at me, I'm familiar, they don't know why, I've been in a million different things. And sometimes they're over the moon about me being on 24. Like, I do comedy shows, some people are like, I have no idea who you are. And other people are sometimes shaking when they meet me because they love 24 or Always Sunny in Philadelphia or any number of things. Or sometimes it's like, where do I know you? Is it from Carpool? And I'd say, no, you know me from TV and movies. You just don't know you know me. So that's the literal, you know, definition of the fame thing. But also Famish refers to my life because I'm from the Midwest. I'm a, you know, working class background. And so a lot of the things in the book, I get into, like, personal stories, my love of laundromats, how I used to work at Denny's. And so it, you know, it's also about this high low way of living. You know, I also was on a private jet with that Harrison Ford, a movie I was in. I caught a ride on his private jet, which is insane. You know, and then the next week I am somewhere walking along the freeway, to, you know, to a laundromat, and that's just my life. It's like up and down, and it's all part of the whole beautiful thing.
Well, that's actually most people in the entertainment business, right? I mean, most people in the entertainment business are not Tom Cruise. Most people in the entertainment business, yeah, you know, are working actors.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. So you went into it. When I talk to actors, most really that I know don't go into the biz for the fame. Either they like that part or they, in many cases, do not. But they don't go into it for that reason. They go into it because if they're a musician, they want to sing or play music. If they're an actor, they want to act.
Steve, that is very well said. Very well said. I think you just hit it on the head. Because you have to, if you go into something like this, you have to love the art, because there's so much other BS and that, you know, and the roller coaster aspect that goes along with it. You have to love the thing. Otherwise, you can't sustain it.
And so many people
do. That's got to be the reward within itself. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But then so many people don't, you know. It's like, now one thing that apparently you love to do that I'd like to know more about, and that is in your downtime, and I don't know how you have any, is to paint.
You know what? I'll be honest with you. The painting is way on the back burner. That's what I went to college for. But it, honestly, I have so many creative things on my plate, is that when I have downtime, it's family time, it's pet time, it's laying around time. Because I'm fortunate enough that my work life and my busy life is all creative. So maybe in a few years I'll get back to painting, but not right now.
If you had a choice of any city you could live in, not in Hollywood, where would it be?
Well, you know, of course it would be Peoria or Aurora, Illinois, where I'm
You're good.
April.
All right, so let's talk about that. It's a part of your comedy tour. You're back out there, as so many people are, April 15th and 16th at the Comedy Shrine in Aurora, and April 22nd and 23rd at Jukebox Comedy. That is in Peoria. Give me a one-minute sort of summary of your show.
It's about being a woman in this world. It's about being a wife, an ex-wife, a mother. And there's lots of moments of existentialism. And it's a bit raunchy. And calling out the audience, if I have to, engaging with them.
Well, it says you even take an intimate look at sex and relationships.
You know,
I'm just reading what you guys sent me.
Listen, things happen in the comedy club, okay? Things happen. You don't know what's going to happen in live shows, and that's why we love it. You get it. You get into some stuff. We get into the nitty-gritty of life.
So here's the impossible to answer question on the spot, but I'll ask anyway. What is the craziest thing that has happened to you in a live show?
In New York, I heard a ruckus in the kitchen, and the staff was trying to keep somebody from coming into the room who had a gun on them.
What?
Just the other day, I was talking, and it isn't always dirty, but this one, 4 minutes in, let me just say it's a mature show. It's for adults. I'm talking to someone in the audience, and I said, "You're very young." And then I walked into the audience, and I said, "Oh, you're a child." There was a 14-year-old with her 12-year-old brother and her mom at my show. And I said, "This is not appropriate." And the mom said, "Oh, well, you play such nice characters in your movies." And I said, "This is not that. And maybe you guys want to sit this one out." And they stayed for the whole show. And I have to say, it sort of had an opposite effect. I think it got dirtier from there, just because it was like, okay, this is your choice.
You corrupted those poor children. So if you want to,
and it's not about being dirty, but it's like mature. It's,
yeah.
You know, it's adult. It's someone who has lived a life, and that's that's what you want. You're relating to an audience about stuff that everybody goes through and letting off steam, you know.
Well, she's lived a life that she will share with you. April 15th and 16th at the Comedy Store in Aurora and at the Jukebox Comedy, April 22nd and 23rd in Peoria. It is. I wish we had more time, Mary Lynn. It's been a pleasure talking to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Steve. So nice to talk to you. You're awesome. Thank you.
Thank you. She's awesome, actually. And this is what I am so excited about.